In the name of the glorious Trinity, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. Glory be to the everlasting mercies which sent you to us, O Christ, the light of the world and the life of all. Give us wisdom by your law and enlighten our impulses by your knowledge. Sanctify our souls by your truth and grant that we may be obedient to your words and may fulfill your commandments at every hour. O you who enlightens the rational with the knowledge of your greatness, do enlighten, O my Lord, our thoughts, that we may meditate upon your holy and divine scriptures at all times, O Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Six days remaining to the end of our fast and for the celebration of the crown of the feasts, the holy feast of the resurrection of our Lord from amongst the dead. Those who have neglected this great fast, it's never too late. Do it for these last remaining six days. Now, oftentimes when I would prepare the congregation of the faithful for the great fast, that is on the Sunday entering the great Lent or the great fast, I would somewhat discount the nitty-gritty aspects which people would harp on or cling to pertaining to food, stressing and emphasizing that we need to be extra cautious and alert when examining food products for fasting. For example, reading the ingredients for each food product to avoid any milk contents, any traces of cheese or any dairy, etc., etc. After all, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, praise be to his name, teaches that it is not what goes into a man that defiles man or defiles him, but rather what comes out in Matthew chapter 15. However, today on this podcast, in this episode, I would like to call myself out on this and claim that I stand myself corrected. After diligent examination into the act of scrutinizing food products and the deep intent behind it all. Why should we be extra cautious? Now, I know it's not about food. I know it's about depriving yourself from the pleasures of the flesh and stopping from sinning. But why should we be extra cautious when it comes to food products? Well, since fasting is a process of disciplining and subduing the body and its desires, that is, its evil desires and weaknesses, which are the target that Satan aims his trickery and temptations, we must go hard, we must go all out, and we must go all the way. You see, when we are reminded in the Holy Scriptures that Christ, our Lord, our God, our King, our life giver, and the forgiver of our sins, who had not known sin, made himself to become sin in our place, that we would become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, paraphrased. When we are convicted, if there is any such reaction these days, but giving it the benefit of the doubt, when we are convicted by the fact that Christ, our Lord, our King, our God, our life giver, and the forgiver of our sins, stripped himself and took the form of a servant and was in the form of the children of men and was found in fashion as a man, and he humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of being crucified, Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8, again for our sakes. And St. Theodore of Mopsuestia, one of the church fathers, comments on this and says, by the word emptying, the Holy Scripture signifies becoming of no account. Just as in Corinthians, Paul speaks of faith as if it has been made of no account or emptied of significance if Christ be not raised. 1 Corinthians 15:14. When we recall God's commandment to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17 in the Garden of Eden, saying to him, "From all the trees that in paradise you shall eat, from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat from it, because in the day that you will eat from it, you will die the death." And this was in order to keep a relationship of love and obedience with God. How about Romans chapter 8, verse 32? When it's rebuking us with the fact that God did not show pity upon his son, but he handed him over for the sake of all of us. This is for us to reinstate us, to one more time justify us and make us right, bring us into the righteousness of God. You see, from these verses, beloved, we learn and are woken up to the fact that the holiness to which you and I have been called is not something to be taken lightly and carelessly, but rather seriously, in every way, in every shape and form, including the scrutinizing of our food products during Lent, which is, again, subduing the body. We must accept that what God the Father did and continues to do through God the Son, by God the Holy Spirit, by the power of God the Holy Spirit, was to and is to bring us and to keep us in righteousness, away from sin and separation from God. Go back and re-listen to those verses and read them again. When we, during the period of fasting, are serious and nitty-grit at the food aspects of our Lent, we are portraying seriousness about the subjection of the body and its deprivation from all its desires and pleasures. You see, we subdue the body to stir up the soul, to lust, to yearn for the Lord in the night, and the spirit within us to rise to his presence, according to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9. How? By praying, fasting, reading the Holy Scriptures, attending church. If we are serious and nitpick in every aspect of our flesh, which will return to dust, how much more then, and extra serious and intense, will we be in every aspect of our spirituality and relationship with God? Now, this all can be summed up in three very significant points. Why do the above? Why go to that extreme? And again, the disclaimer is it's not only about food, I understand, but we're talking about how important the food factor is, because many people have their own philosophies when fasting. I'm going to not drink Coke. Oh, wow, excellent. Not drink Coke, but I'll have my fish and I'll have my In-N-Out and I'll have my burgers. Why? Because the flesh wants that. Well, what type of a fast is that? Are you subduing the flesh? This all can be summed up in three very significant points. Why we do this is because of motive, intent, and purpose. The Holy Scriptures are precise and clear that in all that we do, the motive should be to draw near to God, the intent should be to please God, and the purpose should be to glorify God. So let's apply what we've been discussing about our fast, the nitty-gritty details of our fast, and mostly the food aspects. Let's apply this. Number one, point one. Our motive in examining in depth the ingredients of the food we consume during fasting, amongst many other things which go without saying, should be to draw us near to God. Now you may say, how is that going to draw me near to God, Rabbi? When I pick up a packet of chips and I'm reading the ingredients to be cautious as to what I'm going to consume, because right now I'm fasting, I'm depriving my body. How does that work then? Well, by being serious about subduing our bodies to the max, to provoke our soul to spirituality by which and through which we can worship God, according to John chapter 4, verse 24, this draws us closer to the desire and the will of God. Number two, our intent behind examining deeply the ingredients of the foods we consume during fasting should be to please God. How does that please God? By being serious about subduing our bodies to the max, to provoke, to stir up our soul to spirituality because of the righteousness of our commitment level at which God looks upon favorably and to which he will say, well done, good and faithful servant, Matthew 25, 23. We are then pleasing to God. Why? Because these words of well done, good and faithful servant express satisfaction from our Lord. When we go all the way, yes, when we do examine every food that we are going to consume during Lent. And lastly, our purpose in examining in depth the ingredients of the foods we consume during fasting should be to glorify God, as we have ascertained. And if you ask how, well, simply when we fulfill points 1 and 2, we express and affirm the seriousness of our concern towards our sinful nature and state, which sees us deprived of the glory of God. Because as it stands, and as sinners, we do not have our own glory, and we surely lack ascribing genuine glory to God. However, when we mourn and feel sorrow for our sins and separation from God due to the overwhelming empowerment of our fleshly desires and cry out, O Lord, have mercy upon us sinners, God will be glorified by our deeds which go to extremes, beloved. Again, we're talking about examining the food products or depriving ourselves from many of our social aspects. God will be glorified. And that glory is our reply to God's gift of fasting to overcome and to defeat Satan and sincerely worship him, our God, and him we serve alone. So if you have been a little laxed and complacent regarding the food aspects and elements of fasting, because it's not about food, if it's not about food, well, why are we then abstaining from non-fast food? Why are we going total vegan? Well, it is about food because Christ fasted. God said to Adam, do not eat. Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he received the commands. So it is about food. So if you've been a little laxed and complacent regarding the food aspects and elements of fasting, do it this week. And you will see that though the body is weak, yet the spirit is ready to draw near to God, to appease God and to glorify God. I know that fasting is not merely going all out vegan. It's not merely about that. But going all out vegan is a starting point to show remorse and discipline, again, to draw near to appease and to glorify God, to whom be praise, glory and honor, now and at all times and forever. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. Please don't forget to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends and family. For any future topic suggestions or to give us detailed feedback, please visit our link in the show notes, linktr.ee/doubleedgedsword. Until next time, God bless you all.